Let us open the scriptures this evening to the book of the Psalms and read Psalm 143. And our text this evening will be particularly verse 5. Psalm 143, verse 5. But we'll read the entire psalm. Psalm of David, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember, that will be the text for this evening, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies. And destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Amen. Beloved congregation, today we and many others look back to the things that have happened, particularly in the year 2007. We look back at what people have said and done, what they have written, what they have achieved, and a lot has happened. And it is fitting to look back. It is even necessary to look back again and again. Someone has said that if you don't take time to look back and pay attention to the past, then you will have to experience the past once again later. If you refuse to take heed to the lessons that are there in the past, then history will repeat itself, and repeat itself even more seriously than in the past. But however important it may be to look back and to look at various happenings and various people, what they have done, good or evil, there is a way of looking back that is even more significant than I have described up to this moment, and that's the looking back that David does in Psalm 143. He looks back to the days of old, not merely to recall what people have done or said, but particularly to look back to what the Lord has done. All thy works, he says in this psalm, which is a prayer. And we will take it up this evening by way of the theme, looking back to what the Lord has done. And we will consider the composer, the circumstances, and the commemoration. So looking back to what the Lord has done, we'll consider the composer, the circumstances, and the commemoration. The composer. Who wrote, who sang the words of our text? I will remember the days of old. I will meditate on all thy works. The heading of the psalm tells us, David. Now we know from the word of God who David was. But the most important thing about David was not merely that he was a shepherd, not merely that he killed Goliath with a sling and a stone, not that he was king of Israel, that he was king of a very great kingdom. Rather, the greatest thing about David is that he received grace from God and was given a true faith so that he truly knew and feared the Lord. That was David. He was not an historian who jotted down some things for us, but he was specifically a composer of psalms. We can't say for sure, but he likely was the composer of almost half of all the psalms we have in the scriptures, of 73 of them. He also composed Psalm 143 through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in this psalm, he sings as a saved sinner. A man who knew the secret of the Lord, namely that the Lord God in his incomprehensible love seeks and saves sinners and makes them his own. The composer of this psalm, David, was such a saved sinner. David, also called in the scriptures the man after God's own heart. But however true these words are that I just spoke to you, when you read this psalm, especially the opening lines of the psalm, then you would almost think that David is not a saved sinner, not a man after the heart of God, because he says, is it verse 2, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. And some might think, well, if he had truly come to know the Lord God as a God of grace, to whom he was reconciled by way of the blood that was typified surely in the tabernacle, also in his days, then David did not have to be afraid of having to come before the judgment seat of God. And yet when you read that in that second verse, then it's obvious that David fears a day coming of reckoning. How can that be? Well, a person who has come to know the grace of God also has come to know his sin. Else, the grace of God would not be the grace of God to him. If your eyes have been opened to the grace of God, then your eyes will have been opened also to the reality of your sinful heart and life, which deserves condemnation. And then indeed you learn to speak of grace. But then you know what it is you are talking about. And it's not something that you do only once in life. That's how some of the evangelicals today put it, that repentance is something you do once and for all. And asking for forgiveness and fearing the judgment seat. No. As Martin Luther said when he wrote the 95 Theses, that's something you do every day. And the one-time repentance calls for a returning to the Lord again and again, that whatever sin remains in you may be put to death, and in its place may be a life of godliness by the grace of God. And so a prayer like I just quoted, enter thou not into judgment. And David knows himself a servant of the Lord, thy servant. But it's a reality to him. O Lord, enter not into judgment with thy servant. Is he then actually afraid of the judgment, yes. He knows that if God would x-ray his life and ask him to give account of all that he has ever said and thought and done and left unthought, unsaid, undone, he will not be able to stand. Well, who, for that matter, could? Who of us could, when the Lord comes and he places us before his holy throne? Don't you remember the words of Pastor Murray the other day on Romans 3? Is it not so that of ourselves we stand guilty? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Before the judgment seat of God, no one in himself is righteous. Goes for all of us. And we say it this evening again, congregation, and I ask you, do you know this? Do you realize this? And do you understand David when here he says in this psalm, enter not into judgment with thy servant? And we sang it a moment ago, in judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried before thy holy laws. No man is justified. You see, it's not only so that the Lord in his Ten Commandments points his finger at us and he says, you're that man. Sin against the first commandment, against the second commandment, and all the commandments. And God is right when he does so. But when it becomes a personal thing to us, when the Spirit of God and of Christ teaches us, then our heart also accuses us, you see, that we have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them and am still inclined to all manner of wickedness. Then we agree with God and then we bow before God. Well, that's David in this psalm when he looks back. He looks back in the awareness of himself as a sinful man. Does not make this psalm a very fitting psalm on the last evening of this year? We can't do without this confession either. We have sinned. We can't look back over the year and say, that's all past. Let's get moving. Who have we been? Now, don't be so negative tonight. Will you look back for a moment? And will you not acknowledge that you and I have grieved God by our sins? Is it not fitting tonight to stand before the holy mirror of God's law and not take quickly glance at it and then walk on and forget what we have seen in that mirror, but take a careful look at your life, my life, in this past year? Who have we been? What have we done? What have we done with the grace of God this year? His offer of grace to us. Is it not fitting this night to say with David in another psalm, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Do you ever think of the judgment of God the way David did in this psalm? Because that day will come for you, as it will for me. Time is moving on. And just like today, somebody was killed at an intersection. And he didn't think he was going to get killed at that spot. That's how one day for you and me, there will be the day that we will be called out of this life. And we will stand before God. And the Bible says that then the book of your life will be opened before God's face. You don't know how to picture it, but the Bible does say it, doesn't it? You have to give account of every idle word. You'll have to give account of everything you have done or not done and that you should have done. Everything good or evil. And what do you think will be the outcome of the judgment? Do you trust that all will be well when God will examine you and me? Sinners shall not be able to stand in the judgment of God. But what about sinners who have received grace, like David? Well, think of the words of David in this psalm. You see, we must not only know the means of forgetting the past, but we must know how our past, stained with sin, can be cleansed, washed away. There is a way. There's one way. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And that must be applied to our mind, to our conscience, to our heart, by the Holy Spirit. Then we are safe. Then we shall be able to meet the judge whom we have met here in Jesus. And there we shall meet Jesus as our Savior, who will judge us, but will judge us in the light of his own work. Do you understand that? I hope you do. For a whole year, this has been proclaimed to you and me. Have you learned with your heart and life to hide behind the blood of Jesus and trust in that blood? If not, one more time, the Lord calls you this night to flee to him for refuge and seek shelter with him before it's too late. Well, that first of all, the composer, David. And it's written for you, for me. Let's consider secondly his circumstances. They were fearful circumstances. Verse 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. So David was clearly in danger, surrounded by enemies, and they were going to kill him. Therefore was his spirit overwhelmed within him. Now, without wanting to say that your and my life in every respect looks like David's life, there are a number of circumstances in your and in my life that correspond with David's circumstances. To start with, there are persons in our midst who know what it is to go through trials in life and to be overwhelmed by those trials. There are persons in our midst who know in the trials to even end up in moments or times of darkness. It can be a time of bereavement of a loved one, and you never thought it was going to hit as hard as it did to you. And some of us think, my husband or our child passed away so many years ago. And you know, it's still pains me every day. And there are persons in our midst who suffer from a certain illness. And medically speaking, there is no recovery. There is relief. There is extension of life. But no recovery. No remedy, actually. And for the rest, to many people, many afflictions do occur in life. And at the close of the year, those things can be painful. But what about enemies? David had enemies who were persecuting his soul. I've never experienced that, maybe you think. True. But have you not experienced this year any enmity from the side of the world or from Satan? Could that then be because the enemy didn't think he needed to? Because he had you already? Could it be that you never gave it a thought because you have simply adapted yourself to being part of this world? But don't be mistaken in this regard. The world may come across very kind to us, but don't you think that kindness governs this world? The spirit of our day is a spirit that is at enmity with God and with Christ. And that stands out in our society. There are symptoms. If not quite a harsh reality, you try to apply for a job. Will you work on Sundays? No, I could not consider. Except in an situation of a real emergency, or in case of charity. And you didn't get the job, or getting involved in all kinds of practices of which you say, no, I won't participate in various kinds of research, pro-stem cell, or pro-cloning, or... And this hostility will get worse. Has it not gradually grown worse also this year? That's in line with the scriptures. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. And the foundations in our society are being shaken. The foundations, the biblical foundations for what God wants society to be and to look like, they're all being turned upside down. With respect to these things, we are not moving into a year without concerns. What is brewing? What will we be facing? And these things are real. The Lord has foretold us these things. We are living in a world in which the masses of people say, let us break their bands asunder, thinking of God, and cast away their cords from us. They don't want God. They don't want His anointed. Well, these are the circumstances that David is in here in Psalm 143. David, the sinner, who knows of the grace of God. A man after God's own heart. A man who knows that if the Lord would enter into judgment with him, in the Lord's sight, he would not be justified. This David encounters persecution in life, and his spirit is overwhelmed within him. What does he do? Let's move to our third consideration, the commemoration. He says, I remember the days of old. Understand those words well. There are people who say, I tend to look back a lot lately. It's probably my age. And I tend to think that the good old days were a lot better than today. That's not what David is saying here. He says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works, looking to the Lord. I muse on the work of thy hands. Isn't that touching? How does David find a way, sinner that he is, who knows in the sight of God he cannot be justified on account of anything in him? The man who is persecuted senses darkness, whose spirit is overwhelmed. He's found a way now. It's the way of looking back and to remember. And as he remembers, his remembering becomes a meditation. And his meditation becomes a musing. There are the three words that he uses in our text. And those three words are very significant. The second word is more intensive than the first word. And the third word is more intensive than the second word. To meditate goes deeper, is more intensive than remembering. When he meditates, he doesn't just remember, but he goes over what he remembers. Namely, thy works, O Lord. And then musing. Some translations have the word ponder. I ponder. It's a word that means consider or reason from the past experience to the present. Speaking to yourself and then continually reminding yourself of the works of the Lord. That's more than meditation. So there is a progression in the words of our text. And it indicates that David is not just looking back for a brief moment to the days of old, or to the works of the Lord in the days of old, but he goes into it with his soul and with his heart and with his mind and with his meditations. Now, what a precious activity that is. And David is not the only one who has ever done that, nor the last one who's ever done it. I already indicated that Psalm 77, Asaph in Psalm 77, did something very similar. Asaph also was having a very difficult time. So difficult, perhaps even more difficult than David here. He says, I remembered God and I was troubled. Now that's quite the statement. It wasn't so that he looked at his circumstances and then by looking up to the Lord, I remembered God and I found consolation. I remembered God, he said, and I was troubled. I complained, Psalm 77, and my spirit was overwhelmed. When I meditated, he said, on the help of God in days gone by, my spirit was overwhelmed. He could not see through it. And he says in verse 10 of Psalm 77, the right hand of the Most High has changed. God's word seems no longer faithful. But then Asaph, he went the same way that David went. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing. So he walked the same way that David did in Psalm 143, the way of meditation. The way of meditation on the deeds of God. Amidst all the distress and the trials and the darkness and the enemies persecuting and his spirit being overwhelmed. That's what Asaph did. That's what David did. That's the way the Lord points his children to go. Remember the works of the Lord. And then David found relief and perspective. so did Asaph. And that's the way the Lord wants to give it and work it also today, congregation. The thing is, you wonder, what now was it that David meditated on in detail? And that we don't read in detail in Psalm 143. If you read Psalm 77, then Asaph tells us how he did that in detail. Because he goes back to the great deeds of God when he delivered his people out of Egypt and led them through the Red Sea. There was no path, and God made a path. He broke the yoke of slavery and led his people like his flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron and led them to the promised land, Canaan. And that's how you and I could also think tonight of the deeds, those deeds of God. You could do that with other deeds of God. You can think in terms of Lord's Day 10 in our Heidelberg Catechism, the providence of God, the almighty hand of God whereby He upholds heaven and earth and all creatures so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. I will remember the works of the Lord, that today He is, as by His hand, still upholding heaven and earth, governing all the inhabitants of Grand Rapids and all the earth with all their sins, all their misuse of the gifts of God, whereby God is provoked every day and offended. And He continues to uphold by His omnipotence, His wisdom. And don't we in our day today need the hand of God? What if God's hand would let go of us? Where would we be if His hand would no longer lead us? Where would we be if the Lord would not restrain us from sin, but would let us end up in the pleasures of sin? What if God gives our conscience over to the things that we really want? What a blessing that He lets the conscience still speak, whereby you are kept from sin. What would happen if God would leave you and me to ourselves? And you can also think in terms of what God has done in the history of the church, in the days of Martin Luther and John Calvin, in the days of George Whitefield, the revivals, the Great Awakening. You can think of what He did by the ministry of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The things that God has done in history. It seemed that the church was so lifeless, and God spoke through their ministry and did not remove the candlestick, but converted sinners. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Can you do that tonight? And can you perhaps move along with me this evening and think back to the great work of God, what He has done in His Son Jesus when He sent Him into the manger of Bethlehem? And He laid His only begotten Son into that manger. And 30 years later, Jesus began His public ministry. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. I will meditate on all thy works, including the works and the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Your ears have heard those words this year. They were his words to you. I will remember. I will meditate on those this night. Words of salvation for lost sinners. All thy works. I'm not telling you anything new this evening, congregation. But let these old familiar things become new to you. And perhaps more meaningful than prior to this evening. Meditate on them, on the works of the Lord, the words of the Lord, and what Jesus suffered for your and my sins when he died, and through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. What moved Jesus to do that? Nothing but the love to his Father. And nothing but his love to the lost, whom he came to save from the bands of death, because they had become sinners, slaves, and they were bound, and there was so much that testified against them. But he came to save them by his blood and righteousness. He died for them. All thy works, also the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he overcame death so that you and I no longer need to fear death, for he swallowed up death in victory. All thy works, also that he ascended into heaven, and there offered to his Father his blood. And his Father approved his blood, because he had satisfied all the demands of God. All those works, do you know them in your remembrance, in your meditation, in your musing? Do you know how the Lord has delivered you from distress? Can you say this night, I cried? He heard me. He regarded my plea. Perhaps long ago, perhaps this past week. Jesus is still the same today. His arm is not shortened. He has not changed. He's still the gracious suffering Savior. And anyone who is burdened by his sin and comes to him, who perhaps does not even dare appear before God's judgment, anyone who comes overwhelmed in his soul, remembering thy works, in Jesus Christ, the light breaks through in your darkness. You see it? There it is. For you. Even when you pray, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, in this psalm, David was very wise when he remembered the days of old and meditated on all the works of the Lord and mused on the work of his hands. Was he fine ever after this? This becomes the exercise in this life, every year afresh. Make it an exercise. And if you make it, you find that the coals that are no longer aflame, they're under the ash, they can be kindled again. We need it this night. And we need it next year. And you think for a moment, if God had not given, not done those works, where would you and I have ended? If Jesus had not gone the way to Calvary and had not said there, it is finished. In judgment, we could not stand. But there is forgiveness for Jesus' sake. And through the Holy Spirit applying the blood of Jesus to our hearts, we will not only look back, but we will commemorate, we will celebrate the works of the Lord. Spurgeon had something neat to say about this verse in his book on the Psalms. Let me quote these few words. When we see nothing new which can cheer us, let us think upon all things. When my own works reproach me, thy works refresh me. When the work of my own hands grieve me, let me look to his skillful hands. End of quote. We are about to leave this year, congregation. I have no idea what you plan for the rest of this evening. May I say to you this evening, remember God's works. It's so profitable and expected all from the Lord and His work as you leave this year and you travel into the new year. And your life moves on, and the day comes that you will leave this life. Perhaps in the new year you'll be on your deathbed. And just before that time, your wife is sitting with you, or your husband, or your children, and you have a clear moment. What will you say? Would you not love to be able to say? And your wife asks you, what are you thinking? Will you not say, I will remember the works of the Lord. Even then, His works do not change. His threats do not change either. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. Congregation, how do we move from this year to the next? What will we do these last few hours this year? Let's follow David's example. I will remember the days of old. I will meditate on thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And let the world have their parties tonight. With all their folly and waste, food and drink, let us have a better portion. And remember the Lord, His works. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, as we look back over the years, one thing stands out. We were here every New Year's Eve, every Lord's Day, every prayer evening, And perhaps most of us can say it. And it's the old, old story. I will commemorate, O God, thy wondrous deeds of old, because thou dost open thy word to us, and thou dost give us that word that shall, whereas our life is as grass, as the flower of the field, it is here today and tomorrow it is gone, but thy word abides forevermore. And either we shall hear it in the day of days acquitting us before thy judgment seat, or that word shall forever condemn us. This is the day of thy grace that thou hast given. And we voice our heartfelt thanksgiving for every opportunity that thou hast given us to hear thy word, remember thy works, and live not by bread alone, while thankful for all thy gracious provisions, but live by every word that proceeds from thy mouth. Dismiss us as we go from here. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Remember us for Jesus' sake. Then save within thy fold. We will extol thy name forevermore. Amen.